We're going to look at last week's. These are the readings for you. If you're new here, these are the readings Monday through Sunday. If you want to read through God's Word and just spend time with Him, just you and the Lord, letting Him speak to your heart through the whole of His Word, then just jump in there tomorrow. Find a time and place. Get alone with Him. Get something to write with and let Him speak to your heart as you go through His Word. And let's have some readings from last Thursday and Friday's individual readings. And so turn with me to Exodus chapter 39. This is where we left off last Wednesday night. Exodus 39, and you'll want to find verse 42 and 43. Exodus 39. And if you're new at this, there should be a Bible right next to you in the chair. And that's the second book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus. 39 verses 42 and 43. God tells us this. Let me pray first. Oh, Father, we thank You for Your Word. It is living. It is active. Lord, You pierce our hearts with it. You speak to each of us through it. Lord, as we read it, we thank You that You speak. Lord, we know that Scripture is Your Word, and therefore when Scripture speaks, You speak. So, Lord, make each of our hearts open and listening and ready and receptive, Lord, to hear Your Word. May our hearts be fertile, soft soil, Lord, to receive Your Word. Would You plant it deep, and Lord, may it bear much fruit in each of our lives as we obey it. And we pray these things in Your name, Jesus. Amen. Chapter 39 and verse 42 and 43, God tells us this in His Word. The Israelites had done all the work just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspected the work and saw that they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. So Moses blessed them. And this is all the work God had required them to do, designing this tabernacle, making this. Notice they did it exactly how the Lord commanded them. God's calling you to a bunch of different works. Every day that you wake up and you have breath, God's got a number of works. He's got a whole stream of works for you to truck through throughout that day. We need to be like them and do it exactly as the Lord desired, that He may bless us. And in chapter 40, verse 9, as we end up, Exodus chapter 40, verse 9, God's Word says this: take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it will be holy. I love just the way God does things. You know, when He created the whole universe, the whole cosmos, He seemed to do that. He made the sea, and He made the land, and, you know, He made the heavens, and He's just so organized, so perfect. He makes all these things, and then if you notice in the latter days of His creation, then He fills them all. He makes them all, and then He fills them all. Same thing here. He's a God of organization. What does He do? He makes the tabernacle and all the furnishings, has them do all that, and then what do they do here? He has them fill the tabernacle. Now, put them all in these places. Fill it up. And then how does He end it? Now, let's anoint it all. Let's consecrate it all. That's a good word for you and me, and whatever God's calling us to, and whatever He's calling us to make and follow His pattern. And then what do we have? Anoint it. Consecrate it to Him. Set it apart to Him. Let it only be used for His purposes. You can do that in your own life, praying over things. And then in Leviticus, move into Leviticus chapter 1 and look at these first two verses. The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock." And he goes on from there. But the people would bring to God offerings. They love God. They want to bring offerings. Cain and Abel, you know, way back they brought offerings to their God. What kind of offerings do you give to your God that you love? Do you give Him offerings? Do you bring Him offerings? A few hours ago, Christian walked up to me at home and he had a $5 bill, my youngest son, in his hand. And he said, "I'm going to give this to the church, Dad." And I was like, "All right." I was like, "That's fantastic." I was like, "Go get an offering, you know, go get your offering envelope." And I got to explain to him how, you know, you're really giving to the Lord. You know, this is, I said, "You need to give it to the Lord." And he said, "Well, how do I give it to the Lord? You know, I can't give it to him." I said, "No, this is His body. You decide what you want to give to Him. And then you bring your offering, whatever it is, your service, your gifts, your life, all that you are. And you love the Lord and you give it to Him, you offer it to Him. And when you do that to His body, to the church, that you're doing it to Him. If that's what's in your heart." And then in chapter 2, look at verse 1. "When someone brings a grain offering to the Lord, his offering is to be of fine flour. He is to pour oil on it, put incense on it, and take it to Aaron's sons." And he goes on from there. But, you know, they had all these different offerings that they would bring to the Lord. And there was the fellowship offering that we see in chapter 3. And, you know, it was just a way to fellowship with the Lord, to worship the Lord. And today, you know, we can have a sacrifice or an offering of praise. The Scripture talks about that. Do you know that when you just offer your praise to God, that's an offering to Him? Scripture says, offer a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. You can bring an offering of praise even today. And then let's look at our New Testament readings. Turn to Luke chapter 1. And if you're new at this, you just turn to that last third of the Bible. That very last third, and you'll see Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. It says this, "And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. We need that, don't we? The hearts of the children to the fathers. And then look at chapter 2. You'll want to hold your place there. We're going to dive down a little deeper in chapter 2. So hold your place there. And then you don't have to turn there with me, but I'm going to turn back to the Psalms and share one other verse with you. This is 45, Psalm 45, verse 1. "My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer." We can pray God's word back to Him, our King, can't we? Well, let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Look at Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. And the thing I noticed as I studied this passage here with God's living word, the thing that He was speaking to me this time when I went to this passage is, don't lose Jesus. Don't lose Jesus. You know, there was a family that had a tradition of having a ham for Christmas every year. And they would cook that ham each year. And every year that they cooked that ham, they would cut off both ends of the ham for some reason. And they would cook the ham and they would serve this ham. Well, somebody got a little curious in the family one Christmas and they asked the mother that had cooked it, "Mom, why do we cut off the ends of the ham like that? And she said, well, I don't know. She said, my mother always did it. We can ask her. And so they went in another room in the house and found Grandma. And they said, Granny, why do we cut the ends off of the ham like that every time for our Christmas meal? And she said, well, I don't know. My mother always did it. She said, we'd have to ask her. You know, she's at that nursing home. And so they went and they asked great-grandmother, found her in the nursing home and asked, you know, why do we cut the ends off of the ham like that? And she said, well, I don't know why y'all are doing it, but she said, my oven was too small. And I used to have to cut them off, to get it in there. Sometimes we lose the reason for what we're doing. Sometimes we lose the most important thing, the purpose, the reason. We're all here in church today. We're all here worshiping the Lord, and there are many spiritual disciplines and different things that we can do. We don't ever want to lose the reason, the main thing, the main point. We want to keep the main thing, which is Jesus. 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 We don't ever want to lose the reason in anything religious that we do. We don't ever want to lose Jesus. Anna and I were in Hobby Lobby last night, and we were looking around there together, and she was looking in one area, I was looking in another area, and it got to be quite a bit of time before I saw her again. And you just get that sick feeling for a minute when you lose something very precious. And I started thinking, well, I hope she's okay. I started thinking, could somebody walk in here and just say, come here, little girl. So I started kind of looking around a little bit. We don't want to lose something precious. And you don't want to lose what's most precious in your spiritual walk, in your spiritual life. You don't want to lose Jesus. And so, let's learn from Luke 2, 41 through 52, about how not to lose Jesus. God's Word says this: every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Don't lose Jesus. First of all, we notice here, don't lose him in religion. Don't lose him in religion. You can quickly hear that statement and you can say,
How can you lose him in religion? He's the forefront. He's the purpose. He's the point. Well, he is, but be careful. Don't lose him in religion. You see that in verses 41 to 43. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, this religious feast. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. They're at the feast. They're doing the religious activity. But they got away from him. They lost him. And they didn't even realize it. There was a church one time, an old country church, and there was a new guy in town, a new person that had just moved to town, and he didn't have much money or anything, so his clothes were kind of shabby, and he decided he'd check out this one church, and he tried out that Sunday, so he went and he came in that Sunday and sat down, and he tried to worship the Lord with the people. Well, after the service, the pastor met him and said, you know, hey, listen, you know, we don't dress like this in here. You know, you need to, he said, I tell you what, just go home and pray about it. And just pray about how to dress when you come and just let the Lord guide you. And you know, just come back next week, but just pray about it. He said, you know, the pastor thought that's the best way to handle it. Well, so the next Sunday came and the guy came walking right back in and sat down. He was in the same type of clothes. And the preacher went through the service and all that. But then after the service, he came up to me and he said, I thought you were going to pray about it. And, you know, ask the Lord, you know, how you should dress when you come here. And he said, well, I did. He said, yeah, I prayed about it and got on my knees before the Lord. And I was asking him, you know, Lord, you know, how should I dress coming to this church? And he said, but the Lord told me, he said, I don't know how they dress. I've never been there. We've got to watch out. You can lose Jesus in religion. You can have a church where Jesus has left the building. You can lose him in different aspects of your spiritual life, just in your Christian walk and just trying to grow in your relationship with him and, you know, having your to-do list, you know, read my Bible, check it off, and pray and check it off, give my tithe and check it off, and am I serving the Lord in some way? You can lose him in religion. You see, how can you lose him when you pray? Well, Jesus gave us specific instructions on prayer. You remember Matthew chapter 6, he said, when you pray, do not pray with meaningless repetition. What does that mean? Just kind of praying without your heart? Just kind of having a set of words, just saying the same words, repetitious, just over and over. But your heart's not there. You're just saying words. It's just your mouth. Jesus said, don't pray like that. He said, your Father knows, and when he was teaching about prayer, he said, your Father knows what you need before you even ask. You know, it was better maybe to say just a couple of words from the heart than a bunch of nice sounding religious words, meaningless repetition. You can lose him in religion. They've lost him in religion before, God's people. You remember in the Old Testament at different times, you know, God, I remember him saying, you know, I hate your noisy songs. He's talking about their worship. God's saying, I hate these noisy songs, the worship songs to the Lord. How could God hate these songs? Well, when there's no heart, there's no meaning, that's in vain. You see, God says, Jesus mentioned it, how it was prophesied in Isaiah. He said, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, you can lose him in religion. You can worship him with your lips and your body and being here and opening your Bible, and you can lose him. Don't do that. Don't worship him with your lips when your heart is far from him. God looks at the heart. It's all about your heart. Your heart devoted to him, loving him. You can lose him in religion. You can lose him in your church. You can lose him in your Bible reading. You can lose him in your teaching. Maybe you're a Bible study leader here at our church. You can lose him in your teaching when it becomes nothing but study. You can lose him when you lose focus on him and you get your focus on something else that's really good, religion or some religious activity. You can lose him. Your focus has to stay on him, on Jesus. That's the goal. Keep your eyes fixed on him, as God tells us in Hebrews 12:2. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So, know that you can lose him in religion, and don't do it. Don't lose him in religion. Next, if it happens, if you lose him, realize when he's missing. That's our next point. Realize when he's missing. Realize when it happens. You see that in the first part of verse 44. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among the relatives. They thought he was right there with them, but they finally realized it. He's not here. He's not here. How can you realize it? Don't lose him in religion and realize when he's missing. Well, how do you realize when he's missing? Well, God tells us in Lamentations to examine ourselves. Let us examine ourselves. Take a good look at yourself. Get alone with the Lord and let him examine you. I thank the Lord. We have a little time of that every Sunday here, that little time of confession. We allow the Holy Spirit to search us, show us anything. Do it on your own. Examine yourself. Let the Lord examine you. Ask the Holy Spirit to search you and show you, Lord, are you missing in my life? Examine me. Realize when he's missing. Are your eyes fixed on him? That's one way to realize that he's missing. I oftentimes will be working on something or doing something and pretty soon kind of step back for a minute and think, you know, I'm not even focused on Jesus. And I'm to live that way, and so are you. I'm to live with eyes fixed on him, abiding in him, depending on him continuously in the Christian life. A continual focus on Jesus, gazing upon him and glancing at all else. That's how I'm to live. And so are you. And so ask yourself that. Are my eyes, at any time you can say, are my eyes fixed on him? Or have I lost him? Did I lose him somewhere along the way? Where's my focus? Is it on him or is it on something else? Ask him about it. Lord, am I focusing on you? Or am I focusing on other things? You can ask yourself this question and find out and realize if he's missing. Are you more in love with him than ever right now? We need to be growing in our love relationship with him. The more we know him, the more we understand how much he loves us. And the more we understand how much he loves us, the more we love him. Are you more in love with him than ever? Realize when he's missing. Another question you can ask yourself, and I can't do, is, am I bearing fruit? If I'm not bearing fruit, he's probably missing. Am I bearing fruit in my life? When people look at me, do they see love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Ask yourself that question. So don't lose him in religion. Realize when he's missing. And then when he is, when you realize that he's missing, search diligently for him. That's our final point. Search diligently for him. You see, that's what happens in the latter part of verse 44 through verse 46. Then they realize he's missing. So they go back a whole day's journey. They left a day, go all the way back for another day, just looking for him, searching for him for these days, diligently. So when you realize he's missing at any point in your day, search for him. Right then, diligently. Get your focus back to him. And know this truth. Know this truth. If someone has moved, it's not him. It's not him. He doesn't go away from you. He loves you. He wants you to be with him. He's got open arms to you. He loves you. If he's missing, you've stepped away somewhere. It's not him, it's you. It's me. So maybe you've gone away from him if you realize that he's missing. It's all right, you can come back. Jesus told a story of a prodigal son. He was just illustrating how God is and how God feels about us. God's this father and lets his son go off and his son spends his inheritance, does all these horrible, terrible things, comes to the end of his rope, and finally decides, I'm going to go back to my father. You know, even his servants are better off than me. And, you know, he probably won't accept me back. I'll just tell him, you know, if you'll just hire me back, you know, could I just be one of your servants? And then, you know, I don't have to be your son anymore. I could just be one of your servants. You know, but it's better off where you are. Could I just come back? And when he decided that, he had his speech all prepared and ready to go. And he came up. He was trying to approach the home and get to the father's house. But that dad saw him a long way off. My son! And he went out running. He picked up that robe. It wasn't dignified for men to run back in that day. He picked up that robe and ran out to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him, threw a party for him, said, kill the fattened calf. Dude, my son is back. He wouldn't even listen to his speech. That's how Jesus was just telling us. That's how God is with you. If you've stepped away, if he's missing, Jesus is missing right now, or at any moment in any one of your days this week, that's how quick he'll have you back. Just decide to come back. Just step back. Those arms are ready to receive you and throw a party. His arms are always open to receive you back. But you must decide. You must decide. You see, he finally decided, I'm going back. I'm going back. Search for him diligently. God tells us, Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's a promise. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You will find him. Search for him diligently. You'll find him. And then when you do, remember these three words, fixed, set, and steadfast. When you find him, get your eyes fixed on him again. I do this every morning. Y'all probably think I'm crazy. Before my feet hit the floor, Allison says, why does it take you so long to get out of bed? Because I'm sitting up, and before my feet hit the floor, I want to get my focus on him. So before my feet hit the floor, I think about these three words, fixed, set, and steadfast. And I want my eyes to be fixed on Jesus. So before my feet hit the floor, I ask, you know, Lord, let me see you. Open my spiritual eyes. And when I get him in my view, when I get focused on him, I just think about a tight-fitting battery. You know how it is when you replace those batteries and you just snap that thing in. That is fixed in there, isn't it? And so I just ask the Lord, excuse me, Lord, just fix my eyes on you, just like a battery. I see you now. I got you in view. Now, click it in there. Fix those eyes on you so they're not moving. And Lord, make my mind steadfast. That's the same thing, really. It means firm and unwavering. Make my mind steadfast because I trust in you. Eyes fixed on Him. Lord, let my mind be set on things above. God tells us that in His Word too, doesn't He? He said, set your mind on things above. Lord, set my mind on things above. So, don't lose Jesus. Don't lose Him in religion. Realize when He's missing. And search for Him diligently. And when you find Him, just remember, fix, set, and steadfast. Keep that focus on so you don't lose Him again. Pray with me. Father, we just thank You, Lord. Thank You for just being our God, Lord. We're amazed by You. We thank You that You love us so much, that You gave Your life for us. And Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, fears death, or fears Your return, Lord, if there's anybody here who feels like, Lord, if I die, I don't know if I'll be with You or not. I want to be with You, but I'm just not quite sure. Lord, help that person to receive Your gift, what You have done. Help them to call to You right now saying, Lord, I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. I believe, Jesus, You're God in the flesh. I believe You came and You took all my sins on the cross and You took my punishment. And then You're raised from the dead. And I come to You now, Jesus. And Lord, I don't want to be without You ever again. I don't want to lose You. I want to be Yours. And so, Jesus, I give You my life. I'm Yours. Save me from my sins. Come into my life. Lord, there may be others that just want to pray, Lord, I've lost You. Get my focus back on You and keep it there, Lord. Lord, help every one of us to continually do this through every day. And Lord, speak to each of our hearts. If there's a decision that You want us to make, may we hear Your voice right now, Your still small voice, and may we do what You want. We pray it in Your name, Jesus. Amen. You may be here this morning looking for a church home, or just knowing you don't have a church home, just kind of going from place to place, or come in here a lot, but maybe not having just plugged in, just join. Whatever God's speaking to you, if you want to join this church, now's the time to come. Chris is going to lead us in a song, and you just come. And maybe you're that person that just gave your heart to the Lord. You said, I don't want to be without You anymore, Jesus. I give my life to You. I'm Yours. You come. Let that be known. I'll meet you right here. If there's some other decision you need to make, I'm here to receive you. If you need to pray or whatever, I'm here. You can pray at the altar. But as Chris leads us, do whatever the Lord tells you.